CF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Welcome, everybody. Let's go ahead and get started. I'm Nate Nelson, and for those of you who have attended my other sessions, thank you for coming to this one, too. I'm a software developer. I run a consulting business in Denver, Colorado, and I do database and Cold Fusion consulting. And today I'm going to introduce the CFMX7 admin API and how to use it, what it is, what it does, what you can do with it. We'll hope we can get a lot out of this today. Is there anyone here who has used the admin API? So there's a few of you. Now, who hasn't ever heard of it? There's a few that haven't heard of it. Good. Now, who here has used the Service Factory? Okay, we got a couple of those too. Now, if anyone's seen my other presentation on undocumented CFMX yesterday, we talked about the Service Factory. And to make everybody happy and make sure I stay, I do things right, I'm going to also talk about the admin API too. There's two ways to access the features that the CF admin does. And one way is using the Service Factory for those that have heard of it. It's not a recommended way. It's not supported. It's kind of an undocumented feature. Well, with MX7, MX6, you had the use of the Service Factory. And because people were using it, and it wasn't supported, and it created problems, a lot of security holes and everything. In MX7, Macromedia introduced the MX admin API. And in there, you can do pretty much everything the CF admin does. So today we're going to talk about that. It's a set of Cold Fusion components. There's 9 different CFCs in there, and a couple of them are used for the other CFCs to access. The rest of them are used or ones that you can actually access as a programmer. One thing about the admin API, if the CF admin is secured, if it requires a password, you have to know the password in order to use the features. These CFCs have certain methods in there that you can access to do Cold Fusion tasks that you would normally do in a CF admin. For example, adding debugging IP addresses, or adding mappings, or things like that. Adding a data source, verifying a data source, or deleting a data source. All those kinds of tasks you can do through this. The only things that aren't available in the admin API are things that were previously available with other tags, such as like CF schedule. There's nothing in here to do schedule tasks because there's already a function available to do that. The CF admin API, I will show that to you real quick. Go to your, let me change my resolution real quick. In your MX7 install directory, under the web root, go to cfide/admin API. In there is where these CFCs are. And these are the ones that we're going to use. As you can see, there's one for security, runtime, mail, extensions, event gateway, debugging, data source, and so on. Those CFCs represent the functional areas of the administrator. Is there anyone here who has not seen the CF administrator? So everybody's seen the CF admin. That's good. Now, when you look at the CF admin and you see on the left side the different functional areas, such as data sources, debugging and logging, those different sections on the side, that's what each one of these CFCs represent. So all the functions you can do inside the admin, such as enable debugging, enable it, give it an IP address, disable it, those features you can do through here. It just enables you to do it through code. Server settings, data and services, debugging, security, and event gateways also. These CFCs, we'll run through each one of these real quick just to give you an idea of what each one of them does. Administrator.cfc. This is the one you use to log into it. before you access any CFCs, whether it's debugging or data sources, any of them, you have to log in first. And to do that, you use the administrator.cfc. And I'll show everybody examples of how to do that too. And in here, there's also a few other things too, such as settings in the migration and setup wizard, how you have the ColdFusion install. Base.cfc, this is the one that I was telling you about you don't really use. This is used for the other CFCs in here. They actually access such as common methods such as dump and things like that. So you don't really need to access that directly. It won't give you any value. Datasource.cfc. This provides ColdFusion data source management. Everything as far as setting it up for the first time, deleting it, disabling it, verifying it's there, changing the settings on it, changing the name of them, pretty much everything you can do in the admin you can do here. Debugging.cfc provides management of settings for ColdFusion debugging and logging. This is where I was mentioning you can add IP addresses, delete IP addresses, enable debugging, turn it off. Event gateway.cfc, anything you can do for event gateways in the administrator, you can also do here. Extensions.cfc provides custom tags, ColdFusion mappings, CFX, Applets, Corba, web services, all that management. This is where I was mentioning you could add your own mapping. For example, if you were working with a web host and they had a certain feature where, probably wouldn't be a web host because they probably wouldn't give you the admin password. But if you were going to create your own control panel, or this is good for web hosts if they want to create their own control panel for people to use, you can create your own user interface to do all these things that kind of resembles the CFAdmin, but it gives you more control over it so that they're different in each one. Mail.cfc provides management of ColdFusion mail settings, you're setting up the mail servers, configuring them, everything you can do here as well. Runtime.cfc provides management of runtime settings for caching, charting, configuration. One of the good examples of doing this through code I've seen is if you've got several things to add, or if you want to just do something simple like enable debugging, but you don't have access to the CF administrator, but you do have the password. That I know a project I worked on in the past on the production server, it's a good practice not to make the CF admin available externally. So you put it in its own web root, and you secure it so only certain IP addresses can get to it, so you can only get to it from that server itself or from certain IP addresses. And doing that disables you from being able to directly go to the CFAdmin from somewhere else. So using code, you can do this. Security.cfc, this provides management of administrator and RDS password, sandbox security. Serverinstance.cfc, this stops JRun server instances, only available for ColdFusion 7 multi-server configuration. Another use for doing this, if you wanted to set up something on like an automated schedule, so at a certain point in time, you want to restart the service, set up on a schedule, you could do it this way. Security, obviously there's some security risks in here. This tells a little bit about the history of what happened here. I mentioned the service factory to you earlier. Soon after MX was released, developers learned how to access this. I myself am guilty of that. And using create object, and the CF object would call ColdFusion.server.serviceFactory. The Java object would give developers complete access to all ColdFusion server objects, including data sources, runtime, security services, without having to have a password to get into it. So what Macromedia decided to do was release this admin API. And if you are worried about security and people getting into this, one way to control it is to disable the use of creating Java objects. And the creation of the ColdFusion admin API wasn't created to create problems. It was created to solve the challenge of extending the administrator functionality and give them a reason not to use the service factory. some of the security risks, not only related to the service vector I mentioned, but also related to the admin API. Unauthorized access by hackers, malicious use by rogue developers, unintentional damage, inadvertent disclosure of sensitive server information. And these can, even if you're not worried about, you don't have anything sensitive, you're not worried about bad people coming in and hacking everything, even doing this yourself as a company, you're working with it, you may, if you're not careful enough, you may change a setting that could completely screw up everything. So you got to be real careful doing it. And one way to help eliminate some of these things is by having a really good CFAdmin password, strong string, minimum of 8 characters, mixed case, includes special characters, numbers. Make it as strong as you possibly can. And make sure that if you have it so you don't have to enter a CFAdmin password, which is fine on your own development box, but any other server, if you have it to where you don't have to enter a password, that means that anybody that has access to the code has direct access to these CFCs and can do whatever they want to the admin. So make sure to use a password. That's the most important thing. And another way to do it is you can put directory security on those CFCs too. So for that admin API, you can secure that directory so only certain people have access to it. A common method that is recommended actually is to create your own custom components to access these. And you don't, so if you're like a web host, for example, and you don't want to release this whole admin API to everybody, but there's certain features of it you do want to release, such as creating databases, changing them, things like that people can do on themselves, creating mappings, some debugging settings you don't care about, but you don't want them to have access to the server information or the security CFC, some of those things, and you don't want them to have the admin password, then what you do is you create a set of custom components that would access these different components and put those somewhere else for them to access, lock that directory down so that only you can use it or only the person accessing that can use that directory, and then you have your password in there. So then, then people wouldn't have to know the admin password and they could access the features you needed. And when the good thing is if you're worried about security, before you use any of the API components, you have to use login.cfc to log in. So you can't get to any of them without logging in. Using the API, we're going to take a look at it real quick. We'll take a break here from the slides. Use the component browser utility. This is the best place for documentation for this, because you'll find, even though it's supported and it's released, it's not extremely well documented, because the CFCs are kind of self-documented. They're named very well. They're pretty self-explanatory. They're very self-descriptive. And from using the browser utility, you can get what all the parameters are, what methods are there, what they do, a good description of each one. And that's the best way to get the documentation for it. There is, in a couple of the development books by Ben Forda, there's a little chapter on the admin API, and it basically just kind of sums up, well, it goes into more detail everything I'm covering. But it doesn't go into how to use each one of them. It just says, here it is, here's how to use one of them. So let's look at that real quick. Oh, one thing I want to mention, the slides for this aren't in the book. So if you want to get the slides as well as the code we're going to use today, go to my website and get it right here. It's Zententia.com, Xententia.com. And right here you can go download that and you'll get a zip file with the code and the PowerPoint in it. Yes?
How long are you going to have
this up? I'll keep it up for a while. Okay. I probably won't take it down for a month or so at least. So maybe not even that. I'll leave it up for a while. So don't worry about going to get it today. And all three of my presentations I did are going to be right here too. The component browser. To get to the component browser, you do have to have the CFAdmin password. when you go to it, it'll require you to log in. Now, when you go to it, first thing you got, let's go to it from the beginning. I'm already logged in, so it shouldn't make me log in again. So this component browser, this is a useful tool not only for the CFAdmin API, but also for any components you yourself have on the server. It really gives documentation for any CFC that's in there, especially if you're very descriptive in some of the tags like hint and display name and the name. If you're real descriptive in there, it'll give you some good documentation on there. Now, when you go here, you see all your packages on the left. And a package is generally a folder. So remember I told you before it was in the CFIDE/admin API? That's where the CFCs were. That's the folder, that's the package. And then in there we've got all the components. So what we do, we go to that package. We want to see the admin API, so we go here. And here are the different CFCs available. Administrator-based, data source, debugging, et cetera, the ones I showed you before. And one of the examples we're going to look at here today is data source. So you go here, and over here on the right, you can see these are the methods in the data source CFC, all of these right here. So one of the examples we're going to do today is we're going to set up a new data source name to a SQL Server database. And to do that, we're going to use set MSSQL. And most of them are pretty self-descriptive, like delete data source, get access defaults from registry, set informix, set MS access, set MySQL, set Oracle. So for each one of those different ones, you'll use those methods for that reason. Verify DSN, that's one we'll look at too. And if you go down here, you can see delete data source. Deletes the specified data source, DSN name, and this gives the parameters that are in here. This lists the parameters and what data types they are. So the one we're going to look at today is set MSSQL. As you can see, this one's got a lot of stuff here. We're not going to go through each one of them, but there's only a few of them that are required. And as you can see, if you go to the CF administrator and look at data sources, you want to create a new one. So what this is actually doing, what the CF admin is doing in the back end, is it is actually going to do the exact same code we're going to do. We're putting in the name, we're giving it the driver, so it's going to call set MSSQL because I selected a Microsoft SQL Server. And when I go to add that, here's the settings, these ones right here required, and we're going to use those in the code. And there's a description. Go to advanced settings. There's all this information.
Do you know if the bug is fixed in 701 for the timeout period? Do you have the admin API to set timeout at 7:00?
Okay. So the question was there's a bug in 701 that if you use the timeout, it sets it to 0. I believe we got Tom Jordal back here. Can you answer that question? Was that ever fixed?
It's in milliseconds, not minutes. Mm-hmm. So if you put 20 minutes,
okay, that's right.
It's going to round it down, so it'll be 0.
Okay.
And if you put in, in milliseconds, it'll actually show the right minutes from here.
Okay.
Round it down.
Okay. So there we have it. Good question. Now, as you can see, all these different settings in here, that's what all these are. That's what all these things are here. Now, if you look at the ones we're going to use, so if you want to explore and you want to see something, you're going to say, okay, I want to do something that is in server settings, or I want to do something like the one we're going to do. I want to do something in data sources, and I want to, see this little button here, verify database. I want to figure out how to verify a database. What you do is you go to data sources, look here for something kind of like it. Oh, there's verify DSN. That's easy enough. Okay, verifies a given data source name, output, parameters, DSN, so passing the data source name. Pretty easy, right? It's pretty easy to use. Some of them can be a little more complicated. They have a lot of parameters. The one we're using right here actually does have a lot of parameters, but not all of them are required. So let's look at the ones we're going to use. Type. Name is required. The name is the actual Cold Fusion data source name. It's not the name of the actual database. It can be if you want. Host. This is the IP address or the name of the server that the database sits on. Database. This is a string. This is the name of the database actually in your SQL Server. And original DSN, you would use this if you were renaming the DSN, if it was already existed in there and you're renaming it. Port is optional. It defaults to 1433. If you had your SQL Server installed on a different port, that's what you would use. Username, password, those are optional, but we're going to use them because we need it to log in. And then encrypted password, this is a yes or no. And what that does, if you set it to true or false, if you set it to true, then it's going to encrypt the password when it stores it. Let's look at that. Timeout. Number of minutes. So that's the problem here. Number of minutes. The number of minutes that Cold Fusion maintains. So that's the problem. It's actually milliseconds. So if you put two in there, then 2 minutes. Yeah, it's actually in seconds. So if you put two in there, it thinks it's saying 2 seconds when you want 2 minutes. So you put 120 if you want it to be 2 minutes. So not necessarily a bug, just a misprint in the documentation. Okay, now let's look at the code to do this. Before you use anything, you have to, let's see if we can, yeah, it's in a zip file and it's all together. So before you can do anything, you need to initialize the API. And to do this, I'm going to set a variable to the password. And in this case, my CFAdmin password right now is password. And then I'm going to say, I'm going to start an object, create an object of the CF, see if we can. Okay, this one's wrapped. Then create an object called a component, cfide.adminapi.administrator. And I'm going to call that object and call its method, its login method. I'm going to pass it in the password. And that's how you initialize the admin API. And once you've initialized it and given yourself access to it, then I'm going to create a new object for what I'm going to do. And in this case, I'm going to create a debugging object, and I'm going to do another create object, cfide.adminapi.debugging. If I want to do data sources, I do .data sources, just the name of the CFC itself. And then once I've done that, now I have access to the methods in the debugging object. And to call them, you do it just like this. For example, if you want to add an IP address to debugging, you would then call the object you created, the debugging object, .setIP is the method to do that, and then put the IP address in there. Now to do the database, same deal, we did it exactly the same way. When we created the object, cfadminapi.datasource, because we're going to look at the data source object. And here I just set up my variables. Data source name, server name, database name, port, username, unencrypted password. And in this case, I've got the wrong password because I'm going to show you what happens if you don't have it connected right. And then to create the database, there's two different ways to do it. You can use Cold Fusion tags or you can use CFScript. In this example, I'm using a Cold Fusion tag. And I'm going to call the database object that I created, .set msql, and then pass in the parameters I'm going to use. Name, host, database, port, username, password. And then when I pass those in, then it's going to create that database. If I've got a problem with it, then I'm going to use verify DSN and see if it was created or not. This is an example of, this is one of the examples when I do. Actually, when you call this and you call the admin API verify DSN, it just returns a yes or a no if it's verified or not. This is one of the few cases where I myself actually do use the Service Factory. And using that, I'm going to call the verify DSN in the Service Factory, and it's going to give me back the actual full error. Now, one thing I want to mention about this is I was talking to Mike Nimer yesterday, and he told me that his goal is, over the next year, is to completely disable the use of the Service Factory. That's his personal goal. So if you use it a lot, you know, be careful with it because it'll probably eventually go away. Okay, now before we run this, I'm going to go into my CFAdmin, and I think I have this created. If I do, I'm going to delete it. Okay. So Northwind, I'm going to delete this data source. Okay, it's not there anymore. Okay, let's go create that data source now. Okay, it didn't work. So my CF try and catch actually gave me back the error of what happened here. Login failed for user example user. So let's go in there and make this password correct. Done. Created the data source. Nice, quick, and easy. Now let's go look. Make sure it was created. There it is. And it's created with the information I gave it. I passed in the username of example user, gave it a password, and it created it with the information I told it to. Looks pretty good, right? Does anybody have any questions about that one? Cool. Let's go to the next example. Next one I'm going to show is for debugging. I just created a simple little page that this is an example of how you might want to use it if you don't want to hard code your CFAdmin password in there. That's a bad practice. As you can see in my first example, I have the password hard coded in there. It's a bad practice. Anybody that gets in there can find the password. Now, if you make a page where you actually pass it in through a form variable, then that's much better because you have to know the password to be able to do it. You can't just go, I have it automatically work or get it from the code. And then I'm just going to, the ones I'm going to mess with are for settings, enable debugging, disable debugging, add or delete an IP address. And as you can see, there's no debugging right now. See no debugging on here right now? Now I'm going to enable it, and I'm going to pass in my password or my IP address. I'm going to add it, put my password here.
You have to put the password in every time.
Yeah, every time you access one for the first time, when it initializes that admin API, you have to put the password in. Okay, now when I go back here, I got debugging on. Pretty cool. All right, I'm done. You guys want to know how to do it? Ah, come on. I guess I'll show you. All right, if we, what I did here again, I initialized that admin API, and I initialized the debugging object, create object, cfide.adminapi.debugging. Once I've initialized that, now I have access to my properties. And before I just give this away and make it easy on you guys, let's go here. Okay, who wants to tell me where I go next to figure out, I have a problem. I want to figure out how to enable debugging. Who wants to tell me the first step I take to figure out how to do that? Okay, I'm going to click on debugging over here. Then what, anybody else? Okay, look for the function you want to do. Go here, and see here's my methods here. I've got add debug event, delete IP, get current IP, get debug property, get debug record set, get a plist, get set debug property. Oh, that must be it. You can also get IP list, get the list of IPs that are on there, pretty much everything you can do in there. You know, if we go look at the admin here, you won't find anything that's really missing here. Here's my debugging settings. Those are in there. Here's my IP addresses. So you can see when I, these are both using the same information, so you can see when I added my IP in there, it put it right here. So they work together here. Oh, it's stored in a Neo XML packet, I believe. I don't think it's actually stored in a database. It's stored in an XML packet. Does anybody confirm that? Yeah, so a Neo.xml packet. It's stored in an XML packet that it gets its settings from. Now, the one I need, it looks like it's probably set debug property. So if we go click on set debug property, okay. So anybody tell me what that means? What do I do now? I've got set debug property, but how do I use it? It looks like there's how many parameters I pass into it? Two parameters I pass into it. They're both required. And one is property name, one's property value. And look, here's my property names. So whatever I want to do, here's the settings I want to do. All these settings are on here. So when I want to change a setting, I'm going to use these names here. And in our case, what one would we use? Enable debug. Okay. Enable debug. You saw there was one in there, enable CFstat debug template. You can change it from classic to the pop-up window. In our case, we're going to use enable debug. And then down here, you can see property value. It's any value, just whatever these are, on or off, or if some of them have separate values, such as the different templates that are used. That's the part that's not very well documented. That's the part that may take some time to play around with and figure it out. And then once I pass that in, then it'll enable debugging for me. Now what about, there's another one, set IP. Here's one, and this doesn't return anything to me because it's a void, public void, so it's not going to return anything back to me. It's just going to do something, and I have to pass an IP address into it. You can also pass a list of IP addresses into it too, and then it will do the job and add it to it. Let's look at the code for that. Okay, I've got debugging property, enable debug, debugging property value. I'm just setting these variables up here so I can pass them in. And then I'm just going to set my property value to my form.enable debugging. And if you look on my form that I had, those values are set to true and false. Okay, enable debugging, one value set to true, one set to false. So I'm just going to pass that into it now. And I'm going to set a new variable to an object. I'm going to create a new component again, cfide.adminapi.debugging. And now that I've had that created, I can use that. Well, this one's for IP address. Let's go back to this one. Now that I have that created right there, Now I can use set debug property. And I pass into it the debugging property, like I have up here, and I pass into it my value. And then that's going to do its job, and it's done. It doesn't return anything back. It just does the job or it doesn't. Now, yeah, so any of the ones you want to use, any of the properties you want to use, you would just change this property here. Now there's, as you could see from looking at the component browser, there's a lot of utilities available to us. Pretty much everything you can do in the CFAdmin, you can do here too. Unless, like I said, there's already a function available for it, like CFSchedule. That's one you, there is not a admin API CFC for it. Now, is there people here who have never seen the usage of a CFC before? Or creating an object? It's good. So you guys have been attending other classes and you've been using it. So that's good. Now, you just create this just like you would any other component. And here's another one. This is where I actually set the IP address. What I did here, I call the debugging API. And I just have a little script here that just says if the method is one, then that was on my form, then that means they want to add an IP address. So I've got debugging object.setIP, passing the IP address, and then it tells me it's been added. If otherwise, it's the delete IP, because they said they wanted to delete it. Okay, so let's see this work a little bit again here. So I want to turn this off now. Debugging disabled, there you go, it's off. Now, my IP address is still in there, so if I want to enable debugging, and I want to remove my IP address, and doing that will make it open to anybody. And I do this. And if you know, one thing that's kind of interesting is when you enable it for the first time, it doesn't come back here. When you disable it, it doesn't show up. When you do that, you have to refresh the page. So there we go. Looks pretty good, right? Does anybody have any questions on that? Yes. Uh-huh.
Do you see, maybe that's a question for the building back there, but do you see them, I guess, the ability to do it on a specific, like assign an application and enable debugging at the same time? So basically I could only see the debugging for my application.
So your question was you want to know if you can see debugging only for your application and not for the other ones because your web host wants debugging off because they don't want everybody to see it. But if you want to see it yourself, there's not a way through code you can do that. There's not a way like directly through CFAdmin you can do that. Yeah, exactly. And using like sandbox security, if you had sandbox security set up and had the different instances of ColdFusion, which most hosts probably won't do that, because if you had more than 10 or so instances on there, it would run really slow. That'd be one way. Yeah, and that's another way. Most hosts, I know the one that I use, they have it enabled, and then it's up to you if you want to disable it or not. So in that case, if they have it enabled, then you can use CF setting, show debug output equal to no, to turn it off. So doing that allows you to turn it off on and off yourself. But if they've had it off, you can't go and turn it on. But if they have it set on, then you can use CF setting and show debug output equal no. That's what I know the host I use does. When they set up web hosts, when they set up sites first, they put an application.cfm file in there and set debug output equal to no. So then it's up to you if you want to turn it on or off or not.
I use host my site.
Yeah. Yeah, and they may not let you do it. I know most of the sites I have hosted at CFDynamics, and they by default on most of the servers have it on, and then you turn it off if you want. Good. Now, best practices. We'll talk about best practices real quick. Like I mentioned, control the administrator RDS password. Secure the admin API directory. That's what I mentioned. Here's the code custom admin modules providing user access to the admin API. So if you are a web host or you're someone that's concerned about security, it's a good practice to make your own custom admin modules to access the ones that are in the admin API so that you can limit the use of them and you don't have to use all of them. Just make certain ones of them used. And then lock down that directory. Don't allow access to the security.cfc or runtime.cfc. Those are the two that are pretty scary. You can do some damage with. So if you're looking at those and messing with them, even on your own server, be careful. You can make some mistakes there. Limit access to server-wide settings, such as data sources, things like that. Limit what they can and can't do. And don't hard code the admin password. As you can see, I did in my first example. That's a bad practice. Don't do that. If you're going to create something like this, make a little application. If you're making your own custom control panel where you actually pass that in, or maybe you select it from a database somewhere, or it's encrypted somewhere, do that. Don't just hard code it in free text. And there's also something here. I wasn't sure if anybody was going to ask or not, but if you use BlueDragon, they don't have the same admin API available. But there is something like it you can use. They have something kind of similar to it. And I spoke with someone earlier in the conference, David Epler. He showed me this. That's a link you can actually go and get. It's a project that's supposed to give you similar access to their admin API, some of the similar functions. So you can use it on both BlueDragon and the Adobe ColdFusion. Does anybody have any questions about the examples we looked at? Or does anybody want to maybe mess with one of the other ones? We can create something else.
I had a question.
Yeah.
More of a statement, I guess. I've been using this a lot, and I've come across certain methods, although they're marked public, don't work. It depends on which version, or how your ColdFusion was deployed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I haven't looked into the runtime. I wanted to try to get the JVM property, the Minimax heap sizes. That function does not work if you're in JVM.
Depends on what version you have installed.
Right.
So that's good information for everybody. There's a couple of those methods depending on how you have your ColdFusion server set up. There's a couple that may or may not work.
What I heard from Adobe on this mm-hmm. was that the CF7 admin API is 100% functional with standalone deployments.
Okay. Okay, great, thanks for that information. So it's like you said, if anybody didn't hear, it's for standalone deployments of ColdFusion, it's the admin API is 100% functional, tested, supported. If you want to create your own custom console, and you want to mess around with some of these settings or create mappings on the fly or whatever you want to do, this is the way to do it. It's supported and it's going to be continued forward. Any other questions on this? All right, let's check out one of these and try creating one. Can anybody give me an idea of maybe something they want to mess with? Maybe change the mail server? You want to check out that? Let's do that. All right, we got the mail component here. And if we want to go look at this and we want to do set mail server, that's the one we want to use. So set mail server. And for those of you who are leaving, if you'll fill out your surveys, that'd be great. If you want to do set mail server, then we'll go to there. Set mail server. And here you can see we use set mail server. We call the mail CFC, set mail server. And we're going to pass it in the server for the mail, the port, the username, password, priority. So if we were going to do that, then you would just do it. It's pretty simple to use. It's pretty self-documented. So if we were going to do that, you would then initialize the API, just like you got here. And then instead of setting a debugging object, what you'll do instead is set a mail object. And what goes there matches what you have here. So whatever here, if you want to go to Event Gateway Extensions, that's where you would want to add a mapping, mail runtime, any of those, you're going to go there. So once you've done that, you've now initialized the mail object. So if you want to add something into it, then we're going to call set mail server. Required is the name of the server. And it looks like that's the only one required. So I'm going to go into my administrator real quick. And I think I have mine set. Okay, so we're going to go here. Now, if I run that, I believe that was the only required option. Let's make sure on that. Required string server port, username, password, priority. So that's the only one that's required. And here, just for example purposes, I don't have this attached to a form, so we'll put the password in there. Done. Now let's go back here and see if it did it. Pretty cool. Easy to use. It's pretty awesome. You can see that took us 5 minutes. And all you do is you just go in here, just go to component browsers, just find out what you want to do. Is there anything else anybody they're curious about or has any questions or maybe something else we want to try doing? Cool, you guys just have it locked down. You're ready to go? Well, thank you everybody for coming. If you have any questions at all, I've got my email address right here. And here's my website. If you want to go get the code in the PowerPoint, go there on the left side. You'll see it down there. Go download it, and it'll have the code and the PowerPoint in it. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.